Blog Talk Radio.
All right, come on in and welcome to Reign in Love Ministries. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome back. Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to be alive. It's good to be in the land of the living. And it's good to be, amen, able to praise God. Amen. And the reason that I have to say that is because a lot of people deal with things that, amen, maybe we're blessed and fortunate to not have to deal with. Amen. Some things have happened in people's lives that have altered and changed their lives totally. Amen. I must say it's a blessing to praise God, because sometimes people have things happen in their lives that it just changes them, whether it be mentally, physically. And all I'm saying is praise God while you can. Praise God as you should. Amen. I know that once in my past life, amen, I was of the world, in the world. Thank God for his grace and mercy that nothing tragic ever happened to me. Amen. But, amen, I am just glad to be here. My heart goes off out to people that, you know, their lives have been altered some way. You know, things happen in life that can change people's lives, and I'm not saying that things still can't happen. Praise him while you can. Be grateful for your situation is what I'm saying. And that's what I'm really trying to say. I'm grateful for my life, my health and strength, because, you know, things can happen. A lot of times we complain about things in life, but bad things can happen anywhere, anytime, to anyone. And it's a blessing to have God's Holy Spirit to protect us. We all make mistakes. I made dumb, stupid mistakes. And I'm just grateful that God's grace and mercy was there to protect me, to keep me. Amen. So I just felt the need to say that. Amen. Because like I say, I know things happen to people to alter and change their lives. Amen. So a lot of times we just have to be grateful. Grateful for our lives. Grateful for what God is doing and has done for us. Amen. For all of us, even people whose lives have been altered. Be grateful that you're still here. Praise God. This is why I say, man, I was preaching last Sunday in church, at a church, and I got to preach tomorrow morning. I was just saying that, you know, we have to be grateful. Amen. As the children of God, there are benefits to being a saint. There are benefits to being saved. And man, I tell people, I wouldn't change being saved for nothing in the world. In fact, I wish I could go back in time and get saved sooner, much, much more sooner. Because people don't know that the blessings that you're turning your backs on, when you say, I'm not ready for God, you're turning your backs on all kind of blessings and benefits. For one, there's the benefits of protection. The Holy Spirit protects you from all things. People don't understand that the devil wants to do harm to you. He wants to do mental harm. He wants to do physical harm. You know, he wants to harm you. But what people don't understand and realize is that because you have God's grace and mercy, his Holy Spirit is watching over you, that's the reason why certain bad things don't happen to you, because you're a child of the Most High God. People just can't touch you and hurt you when you're a child of God. They just can't. God is not going to allow the devil to just have his way with you and just touch you and just do things to you. Amen? I don't know if you all remember the story of Job. Man, the story of Job was my dad's favorite story. My dad used to always talk about Job in the Bible and how Job was good and how faithful he was and how much he loved God. And he did. He was faithful. He loved God no matter what happened to him. Amen. God protected his life. He told Satan, do what you will to him, but don't kill him. Amen. And the moral of the story is, if God wanted to, he couldn't have let Satan not even mess with him physically if he didn't want to. But all that was taken away from Job, Job was restored. His body wasn't maimed or mangled or anything. He didn't allow him to do that. I believe he had broils on his body, sores on his body. And his wife was going in on him, saying, Job, why don't you just curse your God and die? And Job said, oh, woman, you speak like a foolish woman. Amen. Amen. All glory be to God. But the point that I'm making is a lot of times, a lot of times in life, we sometimes take life for granted. The fact that we can walk, the fact that we can talk, the fact that we can hear, we can see, we can touch, we can feel. We can experience a lot of things that a lot of other people can't experience. And so a lot of times we take life for granted. I'll raise my hand. I'll be honest with you. I'm one of them in the past and sometimes even in the current present. You know, we complain about things, but a lot of times we don't consider people who don't have a job or people who are not able to work, people who may have lost their jobs, people who are poor, people who are born into poverty, people who maybe mentally challenged, people who are not able to do certain things to take care of themselves, even when they get up in age. I know people who are old people, that don't need a children's home. I mean a convalescence home. There are people who are younger. You know, I've seen people who are younger than most. It's like, man, their health is gone. And you see people who are older, they're just in perfect health. And all I'm saying to you is don't take life for granted. Be grateful for who you are, what you have. I think that's one of the biggest things in this world today, the biggest gripe and complaint is people are not grateful for what they have, a roof over their head, clothes on their backs, shoes on their feet. I remember growing up a long time ago, you know, and that's just one of the things my dad, he was just big on. Hey, I provide a roof over your head, clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, and food in your stomach. You got food on the table. Be grateful for that. And a lot of times, this day and time in the world has just run away with being selfish, being greedy, complaining. You know, it's all about the bag now. It's all about, you know, and I'm not knocking making money. I get it. You know, we all make money. I make money. I'm not saying that. But sometimes you have to be careful. Hey, man, my phone's kind of cutting up. Sometimes you have to be careful because, you know, watching too much of TV and social media can steer you in the wrong direction, especially the younger people. You know, people, they paint this picture like almost to say money is everything. Money isn't everything, okay? Let me go ahead and get into the word. I don't know where I was going. I don't plan on being on there long tonight. I'll probably be on here an hour tonight, maybe a little over an hour, just depending on the Holy Spirit lead and guide me. But I want to say to you all, man, the benefits of being a believer is tremendous. In fact, I'm going to talk about tonight the millennial reign. I know a lot of times we talk about Revelation, we talk about fire and brimstone and you know, the church and how a lot of people are going to be left here on this earth in the tribulation. And what I want to focus on is us, the saints. I want to talk about the saints tonight. Man, where will you be after the seven-year tribulation? Oh, my gosh. I remember talking to a brother maybe about a month ago, maybe a little less than that. I'm sure it was less than that. We were talking about Revelation, and he's a minister at another church. I was saying, brother, I said, man, it's time for the church, the pastors, the ministers to start talking about Revelation start waking the people up. Whether Christ come back today, we know September is right around the corner. It's literally here. Next weekend it'll be September. And I was telling this brother, I said, man, you know, Christ is soon to return. He could come back as soon as next month. And he went into his little rant. Not really a rant, but his little thing about, oh, that's not going to happen in our lifetime. It's not going to happen until 200 or 300 years from now. And he was saying, brother, we want to encourage the saints. We want to uplift the saints. We don't want to scare them. And I laughed, and I was like, scare them? Why would the saints be scared of Revelation? That goes to show you the knowledge gap, and the mentality of today's church. And this is a man of God. People in the church have this mentality that they are afraid of Revelation. Oh, don't read. I'm talking about the pastors, the leadership in the church, when Revelation was given to the leadership. Christ gave John Revelation to share with the saints. Not to scare the saints. I guess if you're not doing what you're supposed to, if you're not saved, I guess you should be scared. But if you're a child of God, then you're conviction by the Holy Spirit. Should every day you should have conviction to want to live right and do right. That's all I got to say. Because a person that's saved ain't got no business being afraid of Revelation. I remember I preached on Revelation earlier this year, and these two young men got saved. Two young men, the 20 brothers, came forth and got saved. And one of the sisters came up and told me at the end of the church, you scared me. And I said to her, I said, well, sister, well, there's no reason to be scared if you're saved. If you believe in God, there's no reason to be afraid. It is scary. I would be the Revelation is horrifying. There's no words to describe what's going to happen in that seven-year period. As far as we know, mankind's been here 6,000 years, possibly longer. Science say longer. The Bible says about 6,000 years. And I'll tell you this. Should you be afraid of Revelation? Definitely. Especially if you're not saved. You should be horrified, mortified of what's going to happen in Revelation. There is no word to describe what's going to happen in that 7 years. But as long as you're saved and you got Christ in your life, you have no need to worry. Revelation after chapter 3, going into chapter 4, Revelation 4:1, we're not seen anymore. The church is going to heaven. We have no reason to fret or to be afraid of Revelation. Hey, preach and teach this to your congregation. Preach to those, amen, that are in the world. Preach to your congregation. Preach to those that are saved. You have no reason to be afraid of Revelation. None, absolutely, whatsoever. God said he does not give us the spirit of fear. We don't fear Revelation. God will give us no reason to fear him. Not in the sense that he's going to take his judgment and punishments out on us. The judgments and punishments that are spoken of in Revelation from chapter 4 on through the ninth, up until the 19th chapter are for those who don't believe, those who have turned their backs on God, those who have totally rejected God. Revelation is for the saints to get ready for the gathering together, to make the church and the saints aware of the times and seasons. We don't know the exact day. We don't. We don't know exactly when Christ is going to part that sky and when he's going to come down and get the saints. But we know that it is inevitable. It's going to happen. It's got to happen because the Bible says so. So God says so. And I believe it's going to happen. All I want you to do is to get prepared. Let's talk about the millennial reign. Hey, man, shall we? Okay. Let's talk about the millennial reign. It's going to be a beautiful time for the saints. No need for us to worry. We won't be here for tribulation for the 7 years. But can you imagine living 1,000 years? 1,000 years we will be on this planet. I was thinking about that the other day. Just the other day, about a day or two ago, I was like, man, it'll be awesome. I think it was yesterday, probably Friday, I was thinking about it. And I was just thinking, I said, man, it'll be awesome. I said, man, to be 700 years, to be 1,000 years, 700 years will pass by, you'll still be on this earth, not old, not all slumped over and bent over and can't see, not all kind of health issues and this and that. You're going to get a brand new body. For the work that you're going to do for Christ, you're going to need that body. You won't need sleep. You won't need food or water. You'll never get tired. You'll never grow old. You'll never get weary of doing God's will. And it's funny to me how you hear a lot of pastors say, I know they used to say this back in the day. You probably heard many of them say it anymore because now, you know, because the preaching and teaching them, they should know better. Well, if you can't do what you're supposed to do now on this earth, as far as living for God, how are you going to do it in heaven? Brother or sister, you need not worry about that. Leave that to a power that's much greater than your own. Christ is going to restore you and give you a new mind, a new body. You're going to be perfect in every way possible. This is why Christ said, and when we shall see him, we shall be like he is. The scripture says that. That means that you're going to be like Christ. You're going to really be like Christ-like. Now, not what we're doing here striving to be. You will be, because he's going to make you new. Okay, Paul talked about this over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. He's going to make you new. You're not going to have to worry about trying to do this and trying to do that. And you may say to yourself, well, ain't that cheating a little bit? No, it's not cheating. But when I say he's going to make you new, he's going to give you the physical and the mental. But your will is yours, which is going to be in accordance to God's will, meaning that you're going to be willing. Once you see how beautiful, this is what I was telling them last week, once you see how beautiful heaven is, you're going to want to do God's will. Once you start hearing the different sounds and music, you're going to want to do it. Once you see heaven with your eyes, vision, there are sounds that we've never heard, things that we've never seen with this eye. Paul said it basically, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men what God has for them that love him. We can't comprehend heaven. Excuse me. And I got to keep it real. Amen. I get sick and tired of so many folks talking about they didn't been to heaven and seen heaven. You have not seen heaven. Because if you did, you wouldn't be able to come back and describe it. Okay? John couldn't even describe. That's why there's not much on Revelation or just much in the Bible about how heaven looked. They didn't even try to describe what heaven was like, but not much. Because it's near most impossible. In fact, it is impossible to describe what heaven is when there's nothing on earth to describe it by. Amen? So, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and say a quick prayer. I'm going to go ahead and hop right on to the word. I say, I'm only going to be on here an hour, then I'll be on here next week. I am tired. I thank God for this rest this evening. Amen. I sure do need it. Amen. So I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to get some more into this millennial reign. Because I want you to know that there's nothing but joy, love, peace, and abundance coming for us. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thank you for another blessed day. We come thank you for a life, soul, health, and strength. Heavenly Father, I come thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon me, my wife, and children. I come thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love, Heavenly Father. I come thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you're about to do, Heavenly Father. Again, I bless and praise your holy name forevermore. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy, for what you've done for me and my wife and children. family, friends, and loved ones, Heavenly Father. I'm even praying for my enemies that they get saved. If I have any enemies, amen. I bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes you may not have enemies, but sometimes people want to be an enemy to you. I don't know why, but it's true. All right. Now, like I was saying, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 2 says, Beloved, now we are the sons of God. This is talking about the children of God, the saints. And it references as sons. Amen. It's going to refer to the both of the men and women, because it's just when it says sons, understand that God's talking about his children, okay, heavenly children, spiritual children. And it do not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. Okay? We're going to be like Christ. And so it ain't going to be no need for you to have to worry about getting tired and worried a trillion years later in heaven, because you won't. Heaven will be renewed. Amen. Constantly. Meaning that you'll never get tired of it. You'll never grow old. That is how powerful the God is that we serve. You'll never get tired of heaven. You'll be up trillions of years without sleep, without food, without drink. You want to know why? Because we don't need it. You're going to get a brand new body. Amen. I had to just pause it for a moment. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. So one of the most longed for times in Revelation prophecy is the millennial reign. We long for it. I know I do. I can't wait to come back to earth with Christ and reign with him for 1,000 years. What such a blessing. What more could anyone ask for than to be with your Lord and Savior, your Creator, for all eternity? Heaven is going to be so beautiful. Streets of gold. You know, the walls are described as precious stones and, you know, different colors. You know, I had to use this as an analogy, but I remember when I used to watch The Wizard of Oz as a kid, I just always think that the Emerald City was neat. And you can tell by, you know, when Dorothy and them found out about the wizard and how they was going to go and visit the wizard, it was this thing. When they finally saw Emerald City, it was like, oh, man, this is so gorgeous. Man, let me tell you. Heaven is going to be so beautiful. You're going to get to go to heaven first. You're going to be judged, and then you're going to go to heaven for about 7 years. Christ is going to return to the earth with his saints, his armies, which will be us. Lord, have mercy. Special nation. Amen. Special. All right. So, peace on earth. You always hear about peace on earth during the holiday times, Thanksgiving, Christmas. People talking about peace on earth. This is not really peace on earth here. It's not. There may be some peace among most people just because it is the holiday season. You know, people want to go home to their family, want to enjoy the holidays. They want to feel love. They want to show love. Well, man, hey, this 1,000-year millennial reign, I tell people, man, don't miss this. Get your spiritual ticket in your hand. Run on and see what the end is going to be. Don't miss this. I told people last week in the church, I said, you know what, this sermon is to those who are saved. If you ain't saved, I hate to say it, today I ain't talking to you. Only talking to those that want to go to heaven, not those that want to go to not heaven. Amen. So, we want you to be saved. To me, there's just no reason not to be saved. All you got to do is confess it to your mouth, believe in your heart. By said, thou shalt be saved. The most easiest thing that you could ever do is also the greatest thing that you could ever do. is receive salvation through Christ. I'll say it again. Easiest thing that you could do in this life, which is confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart, and receiving salvation, which is also the most greatest asset to your being. It is the most wonderful, precious, man, things that you could ever do for yourself to get saved. See, we can lose cars, houses, money, loved ones, jobs, businesses, you name it, certifications. You can lose so much in this life. I'm serious. You can lose things that are mental because, you know, as you grow older, you know, I find myself, I hate thinking, nah, but, man, sometimes I'm just like, boy, sometimes I don't remember like I used to. Have a lot on my mind. You know, my eyes, I can't see as good as I used to. In fact, I was telling some young person that I can't remember, one of my kids, or somebody I was telling, I remember when I was in high school, I've always worn glasses since the fourth grade, but I just could play football without them. I got on the field, I didn't need glasses. I could see good enough to where I can run, I can see, you know, man, I can't do none of that now. I remember one time, this may seem a little fun, I took off my glasses, I was playing catch with the kids. I don't know what I was thinking. I almost got hit in the face with the ball. I said, yep, let me put these glasses back on, you know. So the point I'm making is that you lose so much in this life. You lose muscles. You lose tone. You know, your body ain't toned like it used to be in your 20s and when you were a teenager. You start hitting them 30s and 40s. Oh, man. 40s going, oh, man, 50. Oh, you can forget about when you get in your 60s. You don't have what you used to have. We lose so much in this life. Why miss heaven and not get that restored? Christ made a promise to you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the greatest promise that he made is that I'm coming back to get you. Come back to get a church without a spot, a wrinkle, or a blemish. Why don't you want to be a part of that? Again, we lose so much in this life. Don't you know he's going to more than restore it? He said, I go. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. If you lost your house, guess what he's going to give you? He's going to give you a mansion, a house that you better and bigger than any mansion on this planet now. See, heaven ain't going to be huge in the afterlife for no reason. Amen. I listened to the Watchman on the Wall, Elder Bazaar. He explains how gigantic heaven's going to be. Right now, they say it's about anywhere from about 7 to 8 billion people on this planet. The elder said that the new heaven would be able to hold more than 60 billion people. Now, I understand that people have left this world in the past. I'm quite sure that number is going to be huge. I'm quite sure the number of people, it's a possibility that the people have been saved, amen, since the beginning of time could be around, amen, amen. There's going to be so much room. So much room. But I understand that, you know, everyone can't be saved. Everyone won't be saved. A lot of people are going to, you know, continue to mock God and reject God and things of that nature. But all you can do is love on them and pray on them and go on about your way. But I tell you right now, as sure as you are listening to the sound of my voice, amen. In my opinion, you can't miss out or lose enough here for heaven. In other words, I wouldn't miss heaven for nothing in the world. There's nothing in this planet you can give me. You can say, Tim, we're going to let you live a trillion years, and you can just do what you want to do. Have what you want to have for a trillion years. Well, that's one thing about the deal with the devil. It always has an expiration date. Oh, my God. Let me say it again. Anytime you make a deal with the devil, it has an expiration date. And you can best believe he's going to come to collect on it. Oh, he wants his. And that's your soul. He wants it. That's what the war is over, souls. Man, I want my soul to rest in heaven. I don't want to be in turmoil for all eternity. Who would choose that fate? Oh, I'm just going to, you know, go on. No, the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. Not me and mine. Lord have mercy. Let me read some more things here for you. Peace on earth. We talked about that. The kingdom come. No, we said in our prayer, the kingdom come. See, now that I studied Revelation over the past 2 years, now I fully understand what these things were saying. And I was talking to the watchman on the wall, Elder Bazaar, the other day. I said, man, them old school saints knew. They knew. I remember the song that we used to sing as a kid. There was always about Christ coming back to get the church. There was always about us being with Christ and reigning with Christ. You know, the songwriters knew. Now we don't know who writing the music. Now we don't know what in the world they're talking about. I see some of this junk on TV and on social media. It's like, Lord, what in the world? Amen. But let's hop to it. Let's look at some scriptures. Let's look at Revelation 21, see what it says. John said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. This is Revelation 21. This is where the millennial reign is about to begin. God said, okay, right now, the reason why there's so much sin and corruption in the world now is because the influence of Satan. Hey, we know that the influence of Satan is powerful. We know we got to acknowledge it. Know your enemy. Don't lie about it. That's how people fall into deceit. They lie to themselves. Satan deceived Adam and Eve. He's been deceiving since the beginning of time. And guess what? His deception is almost over with. Amen. So it just doesn't make any sense to miss out. It doesn't. Amen. The kingdom come. The kingdom is coming. Christ is coming back to get the church, to get the kingdom, take the kingdom back to heaven. We're going to be judged, receive our rewards, and we're going to be in heaven about the time. Amen. 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 All right. And so, in Christ having, in God having Satan bound for 1,000 years, he can no longer what? Deceive you. Amen. So the only deception would be your, be it mainly of yourself, your own lust, which we know that man is born in sin, and man is going to lust. He's going to make his own mistakes without the devil, without the so-called Illuminati and the so-called elite and the government systems that are tainted like they are now. Christ's system is going to rule. He's going to remove this evil Babylonian system, this Babylonian empire. He's going to restore it with the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. The kingdom of God. And Revelation 20 and 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That's a long time to be in the prison. Amen.
I'm just reading some here. Amen. That's something. 1,000 years. Anyway, Revelation 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. This was an angel. The Bible didn't really give any detail who the angel was, but the angel laid hold on the devil. Whatever you want to call him, he's going to be put away. Shame on that old devil for what he did. He deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, and he continued to deceive man up until today. But he's going to be bound in darkness. Amen. Seal is going to be put on him to where he can't escape. His mouth is probably going to be gagged. His eyes are going to be, you know, to where he can't see. The reason why I say this is because if you read the book of Enoch, it says something similar, that they're going to be reserved, put away. Now watch this. Let's go to the book of Jude real quick. The book of Jude. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude. I'm going to show you something. The book of Jude. Watch this. Jude, the 6th verse, because there's only one chapter. Jude, the 6th verse. It says, "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Amen. May the Most High add a blessing to the hearing and reading of his holy word. The angels is going to be locked away in chains and darkness until the judgment of that great day. Who shall be able to stand before the Most High God? They're going to be locked away. That means Satan, too. The demons, all of them. There ain't going to be no free-roaming demons, no free-roaming angels. Any angels that are rebelling against God is going to be locked away. Satan himself, whatever you want to call them, for them, their ruler, whatever you want to call them, demons, all of them. Man, what a horrible fate. Yeah, they're rolling around now enjoying this world that God made for man. But, oh, buddy, trust me, they're going to pay for what they did. Eternity is a long time, I tell you that much. I tell you, I wouldn't want to be a part of that punishment. I would not want to get what's coming to them. I'm thanking for his grace and his mercy to mankind, for his mercy to us. Amen. I thank him for what he is, what he done. I need to take a quick water break. Amen. So I want to take a little break. It'd be nice if I could take a little commercial break. I'm going to take a little break, and I'll be right back. All right. Made it back. Amen. All right. Take a little break there. Amen. I don't have much longer. Amen. I'm not going to be on much longer, but I just want to talk to you about the millennial reign. I want to encourage you today. That's what I'm doing. I want to encourage you that, hey, no matter what you're going through, God is going to restore you. Man, let me tell you. I know the trials and tribulations of this life. Trust me. It gets me down. It brings tears to my eyes, too. I tell people, man, I'm human, too. I deal with the same exact things that you deal with. I'm no better than you. Amen? I'm not. I deal with the same things that you deal with. There are times where, you know, I'll be like, Lord, you know, if you came today, I probably wouldn't be mad. I have my moments, too. Amen? It's got to be real. You know, some people want to act like it's jolly all the time. It's not. Then the next day, I'll you know, spring back to it. I'm grateful to be here. I don't want to make it sound like I'm not grateful to be here. I'm just telling you about the realities of life. See, when things are going great, everybody wants to live. Trust me. That's just how it is. When things are great, everybody wants to be here. But when things turn on you and, you know, life gets challenging after challenges, you feel different. You're like, man, why is this happening to me? But, man, this is why Christ made his promise. He's coming back to get us. It don't matter where you are. It don't matter if you're in prison for life.
Don't you know that God's going to free you and you're going to be back on this earth again after the tribulation? And I don't care if they gave you life in prison. It still is not going to be long in being here for 1,000 years. You want to know why? Most people, if you commit a crime, they give you life in prison. You might live to your 80. You might make it to your 90. Most don't make it that long. It don't matter. You're not going to live too much past 110, 120 years on this earth. That's just all it is to it. You're going to be out of here. But that millennial reign is 1,000 years. That means you get to come back, and you're going to be on this earth 100 years, 200 years. See, you've already passed the time that you've been alive, 200, 300 years, 400 years, 500 years on this planet. And the beautiful thing about it is you ain't going to age. You ain't going to need no dental care, no health plan. You need to go to the doctor to check your blood pressure. You're not going to need them to check your vision. You're not going to need them to do your teeth falling out and stuff like that. You're not going to deal with none of this stuff. Man, you're going to be in the best shape of your life. You're going to look totally different. If you got stretch marks and, your body went through these changes, you don't look like it did when you was a teenager, maybe in your 20s, it's okay. If you lost a limb or whatever, oh, you're going to gain that back and so much more. God is more than worthy to be praised. We serve an awesome God. And I encourage everyone to get saved. Everybody. Amen. Let me move on. I can tell you right now I have to come back and finish this up one day. This is good. I enjoy this. I really do enjoy talking about the millennial reign. So 1,000 years that you're going to be in a high position. So don't worry about all the people who got high positions now and how the world overlook you and they don't give you what you deserve. Don't worry about that. Live your life for Christ. And I guarantee you all the people who laughed at you, who mocked you, who mistreated you, if they don't get saved before it's too late, that's a challenge. Now, watch this. I'm going to skip over some. So I want to jump over. I guess I was just now thinking about how animals are going to get along. No more war. They like showing these little videos on these social media sites, how they show these animals fighting and killing one another. It's not going to be no more of that. No more. Horn and all, no more hurt and pain and suffering. We're going to be totally different. No more curse. People won't be able to curse you. They won't be able to put curses. All this demonic stuff that they've done. So they've gotten all this stuff from fallen angels and demons and stuff, telling about how to do witchcraft. All of that stuff is going to be gone. No witchcraft. No necromancing. No, what else they call that stuff? What else he's supposed to do? They do so much out here in this devilish world. He's supposed to serve the devil. That's all they do. They do a whole lot of evil, wicked stuff. Ain't going to be none of that stuff, man. None of that stuff. We're going to be living the life. Living the life. Serving Christ. Serving the Heavenly Father for all eternity. Man, who don't want to be part of this good thing? Who don't want to be part of this? Still hate it for you. So you mean to tell me you'd rather be in hell and suffering than to be here 1,000 years on earth? You go right ahead. I bet you I'll be right there in the midst. I'll be in that number. I'll be in the number. Amen. That's why I want to be in that number. What we say? No more curse. Satan won't be here to do some of those things that he used to do. Basically, Earth is going to be a paradise. In fact, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden world. All the things that are dying are going to live. So you think about the tribulation, how everything's going to be burnt up and tore up. The Earth is going to be tore up really when we come back, just to say the least. It's going to be tore up. because the wickedness of the world, the judgments and the punishments of the Most High God of Christ, the judgment of the Most High God in Christ, the earth is going to be messed up pretty bad. But the saints, we're going to restore this earth. We're going to restore order. Christ, I'm going to show y'all how it's supposed to be. Oh, I can't wait. He's going to show us how the world's supposed to be. All this false peace on earth and all this stuff, peace on earth. No, not there yet. Okay? We're not there yet. But, man, it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be like it was in the beginning, as God originally intended it. He originally intended for peace on earth. That was his original intent. And Adam's job, you know, was better than the job that you and I go to. I don't care how much you love your job. You know, he got to do what he wants. You don't get to do what you want in your job. You don't even get to do what you want in your business in most cases. You know, he was the ruler. The only rule that God gave to Adam was he didn't have a bunch of rules. Thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that. He didn't have no rules. It was nobody but him and Eve. The only rule that they had was not the touch of the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. That's all God told them. Hey, you see all these other hundreds and thousands and probably millions and billions of trees, however many trees it was. Hey, you can do what you want with them. Do what you want. But these two belong to me. Don't touch them. And lo and behold, took that old wicked serpent to bring it first to Eve's attention. And Eve brought it to Adam's attention. Why don't we, instead of obeying the Most High God, instead of sticking to the plan, see, that's a problem with a lot of us as saints. We don't stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. Don't veer off. Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan, my man. It's all we got to do. Just hold on to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Amen. It was about time for me to come to a close in just a moment. But before I do, amen, because I'm going to revisit this millennial reign, I just want you to know how beautiful this is. Yes, yes, yes. This is beautiful. The new heaven and the new earth, Revelation, the 21st chapter, verse 1, John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Know that the wicked won't be there. Wicked men, wicked women, people who bother you now, I tell you right now, people on my job that get on my nerve, I just got to say it. All the cursing and cussing and cursing, talking this way and talking that, talking about this person. I say, Lord. Ooh, man. Lord. Tell you. I was doing better when I wasn't at work. Shoot, made me not want to go back to work. I said, these folks know how they cut up in this world. They can't help themselves being ugly to one another. I said, okay. You got to put yourself in your own little world and meditate away from the nonsense and the foolishness. And that's how you learn to deal with it. Amen. I don't think it comes to a close. Let me go over the doors of the church. Let me go over to, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Romans, the 8th chapter. And let's see. Let's go to the latter part of it. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 34. Yeah, Romans 8, chapter verse 35. I'm going to see if I can squeeze that in. Got a little time. In fact, let me do this. Let's read Romans 10, 9, and 10 first. I always got to do the plan of salvation. Romans the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yahshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. Don't add to it. Don't take away. It didn't say do this, do that, or don't do this and don't do it. It don't say that. It simply says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yahshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But whatever it says, but it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Verse 11 said, for the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You're going to heaven. Nothing to be ashamed about. Romans 8, chapter, verse 35 said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or nakedness? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Amen. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth or any other creature shall be able to forsake. Amen. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Yahshua. Amen. May the Most High add a blessing to the hearing and reading of his holy word. God loves you today. That's all I got to say. I'll be back on hopefully tomorrow afternoon with Elder Bazaar. I know it's been a while. Amen. But I've been working a lot of hours, and I'm just tired and exhausted. I'm tired now. But I'm grateful. Amen. So, family, remember I love you. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. Hopefully I'll be back on tomorrow. I'll be back on next week. I love you. I may have started shortening the shows because, like I say, of the time and everything, because I usually go to work right after I get off the air, and everything's just like so back-to-back now for me. But it's okay. God has given me the strength. Family, I love you. Again, we'll be back on hopefully tomorrow. We'll probably hopefully be back on next weekend as well. Remember, I love you. Take care, family. You are royalty. I am royalty. Have a great weekend. Be blessed. Take care. Stay safe.